Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this morning singing together from Psalter 266, stanzas 1 and 2. God is King forever, let the nations tremble, throned above the cherubim, by all the earth adored. He is great in Zion, high above all peoples, praise him with fear, for holy is the Lord. We sing together 266, stanzas 1 and 2. Scripture for this morning hour can be found in the prophecies of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah 55, but first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Thus far.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his presence and blessing in this morning. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art the creator and upholder of all things, and in thee we live and move and have our being. And Lord, on this beautiful morning, on this first day of the week, it's thy day, a day thou hast given unto us and unto our children to set apart, to worship thee. And Lord, we ask thee then, as we have gathered in thy house, we beg thee for thy presence. Lord, thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou hast said, and I will be in the midst of them. We beg thee, Lord, that thou would gather with us and give those blessings that thou alone can give, those blessings that each one of us need. Oh, we beg thee then for that renewal of our hearts. Take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh, but also care for those who have been renewed, recipients of thy free and sovereign grace. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, in this morning may we be reminded of thy long-suffering patience and goodness to us unworthy sinners, because may we come before thee with a true knowledge of who we are, that we are sinful, that we have sinned against thee, that almighty, high, majestic being of heaven and earth, who can by no means clear the guilty, thou must punish sin. And we read in thy word, the wages of sin is death. We have rebelled against thee, and we have brought upon ourselves death and all the consequences of sin. Oh, may we see it then with all that takes place, all the sickness, all those callings also of death, that we may see, Lord, it's because of our sin against thee that we may become humbled low in the dust before thee, confessing our sin. And by thy Spirit, may it not only be with the mouth, but may it be with the heart, that we feel it, that we know it, that we grieve because of our sin, that we sin against a good-doing God. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, come, because thou hast said in thy word that there is none that seeketh after thee, and thou yet calls unto us through thy word, seek me. And by nature our only answer will be, I will only seek everything of self. But oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thy word may go out with power and accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when thou calls, invites, and commands, seek me, that hearts by thy grace may say and answer with longing and with truth, thy face, Lord, I will seek. Remember those who have become seekers. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that they also may become finders as thou hast promised in thy word. Thou hast said that those that seek me with their whole heart shall find thee. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then through thy word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners may be made alive and begin to seek thee, to forsake sin and to return unto thee, and that they may experience in thee, through thy Son, in whom thou hast well pleased, the forgiveness of all sin. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would richly bless thy word then by the power of the Holy Spirit. Without thy blessing, it all remains death, no life. And we need thy Spirit, Lord, to blow among us irresistibly, powerfully, that there may be spiritual life, but also those who have spiritual life may be led, instructed, reproved, admonished, but also may they receive some comfort from thee, that God of all comfort. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, do not hold thy hand still, but may it be that the angels may rejoice today in heaven over sinners that are brought to repentance also here in this congregation of older ones, of adults, of teenagers, of boys and girls that begin to confess sin and cry unto thee, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and that they may begin to seek thee with their whole heart, and that they can find no rest until they find thee, until they experience that only place of rest, that only place of peace and comfort under the wings of him who came to be that only shelter from the well-deserved wrath of God. Lord, thou hast said in thy word, the wages of sin is death, but also the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We beg thee then, Lord, that thou would look upon us in mercy. There's no reason in us. We're sinful. We're polluted. We have sinned everything away again in this past week. And we only deserve that thou would pass us by, that thou would not bless thy word irresistibly, that thou would not visit thy dear people. But, oh, we beg thee, Lord, upon him who has ascended at thy right hand. We beg thee because of that advocate. Oh, may he then be interceding also for us, and that those blessings may flow down from above, that thou would rend the heavens and come among us and do wonders for thy great name's sake and for our eternal welfare. Lord, remember then the whole congregation, those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Give life, Lord. It's thy work. It's not the work of men, but it's thy work. We beg thee, come then, but also care for the little lambs, for the sheep. Thou hast visited them after thy resurrection, and thou hast left this earth physically, but thou hast said, yet I will always be with thee. May we experience that today in thy house, that thy people, poor and wretched sinners, may be visited by thee as thou hast visited those men, those two people on the way to Emmaus, and that thou spoke to them, comforted, and that their hearts burned within them for thee. Lord, come then, visit. Lord, we pray then that thou would remember all those who are mourning, comfort them. Again, we beg thee, Lord, remember Devin and Joanna and their family, but also all widows, all those who have lost children in the past, those who have lost a sibling, a friend, and other relatives. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou art speaking through death. Prepare to meet God. Oh, may we not leave it behind us, as in this past week we heard and we stood in open grave. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would yet apply it by the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of thy name, the coming of thy kingdom, for the salvation of sinners, for the edification of thy dear people, Lord. And Lord, we have read from thy word, law and gospel again. Oh, we beg thee that thou would use the law as a schoolmaster to lead poor and needy sinners unto that only one, that precious mediator, that only redeemer. And thou hast promised, Lord, that thy word will not return unto thee void, but it will accomplish thy purpose, thy eternal purpose. And may it be then not to our condemnation, but may it be individually for each one for our eternal salvation. Lord, wilt thou help to preach, give strength, give especially the unction of thy Holy Spirit. Take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances. Cast out that evil one, that wicked one, who would like to disturb in the pulpit and in the pew, that we cannot preach and that we cannot hear. Cast him out, Lord, and bless thy word. We beg thee then, Lord, remember all those who are sick and afflicted, those who have been in the hospital and could return home, those who are receiving treatments, bless it. Treatments for bodies and for minds. Remember each one. Remember those with special cares and needs. Help them, Lord. Help those who care for them. Remember those who cannot gather with us. We think of those who are sick, but also those who are older and who are in Bethany Care Home or other places. Visit them where they are, Lord. Remember those who had no desire to come to gather with thy people in thy house. Oh, wilt thou prick them in the heart, and that they may be awakened, maybe some from among us, maybe sons or daughters or relatives who are living in the world, who have no desire, who have received thy name on their forehead, but are only living for self, for sin, and for the world, who have no desire to use the means of grace. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would awaken them and bring them back to thyself under thy word, and do wonders for thy great name's sake. Lord, remember all thy servants over the whole world, all those whom thou hast called to preach thy word. Help us, Lord. We're sons of men, sinners, and yet called by thee. Thou hast not called angels, but thou hast called sinful men to be a mouthpiece for thee. Oh, may we be instruments in thy hands, for thy honor, for thy glory, for the edification of thy dear people, and for the regeneration of sinners. Lord, remember those who are sick and afflicted, and who maybe cannot preach today. Uphold them. Those who are receiving treatments among thy servants, bless it, and that they may be spared. And Lord, in this coming week, then also there will be meetings, important meetings. We think especially of the curatorium who will meet. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would guide and lead those men on the curatorium by thy Spirit, and that they may know when men may come to hear, to be heard, and if it is in thy will, that they may say yes, and that the door may be opened, and that we may be gladdened by the deeds of thy hands. Lord, have mercy upon us. Remember the student then also, when he will receive and have exams. Help him, Lord, be on his left, be on his right, and be with his mouth and heart, and that it may be a testimony that the Lord has helped for thy honor, for thy glory. Remember the instructors also. Help them, Lord. Look upon us then as a denomination in thy abundant mercy, and wilt thou thrust out servants who must labor, who must preach the gospel. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy. We deserve nothing. We deserve only that thou would, that we would only experience thy wrath, but in thy wrath remember mercy, Lord. And so we lay all these needs before thee. But Lord, we must confess we have nothing to plead upon, because we only can bring before thee all our sins, all our sinful thoughts and words and deeds and actions. Oh, we beg thee then, may we be given to pray upon him who sits at thy right hand, upon his righteousness. Lord, hear us, answer us, and give those blessings because of him. And thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. May we plead then, Lord, for thy name's sake, come and give a good hour together, and that thou would richly bless thy word, and may we ask it in the forgiveness of all our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 246, all three stanzas. O teach thou us to count our days, and set our hearts on wisdom's ways. Turn, Lord, to us in our distress, and pity now thy servants bless. Let mercy's dawn dispel our night, and all our day with joy be bright. 246, all three stanzas. And the meanwhile, your collections will be for church and for the Bethany Care Home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. It literally means, I will not leave you as orphans. And according to the ecclesiastical calendar, today is Orphan Sunday. What does that mean? That means that the Lord Jesus Christ physically ascended into heaven, and he promised the Comforter would come. So it's in between when the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven and the church is waiting for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. However, in this week, and as I was begging the Lord what to preach for this Sunday, and I trust you also were before the throne of grace, begging, Lord, guide and lead thy servant to speak a word, that I felt, since we experienced also in this past week death, that I felt led to speak a word from Isaiah 55. Congregation, we're still in the land of living, in the time of grace. That's a very precious time. And what must we do? Where must we turn? To whom must we listen in this time? We must listen to God. And God has a message to you and me today while we are still in the land of the living. God wants to speak to you and me again this morning. What a wonder. What mercy. What's long-suffering patience. And so the word of God, which we will consider, is from what we have read from Isaiah 55, and we will focus on verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So the theme this morning is God's message to the living. We're alive. God wants to speak to us. God's message to the living. What is God's message? Well, the whole word of God is a message to us. But this morning, we will only focus on three things from Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. So the first thing he says is, seek me. In verse 6, he says still, seek me. That's our first thought. Second, he says, forsake your sin. Forsake your sin. You see this in the first part of verse 7. And then he still says something more so wonderful. He says, return unto me. We see this in further in verse 7. And then we will end with the last phrase, a promise. So God's message to the living, seek me, forsake your sin, return unto me, and then we will consider the promise. Congregation, children, boys and girls, adults, God desires to speak to you and me again this morning. Did you come to church thinking about that? God is going to speak to me again. What an impressive thought. What does the Lord want to say to you and me this morning from his word, from this text? The first thing he wants to say to you and me, seek me. That Almighty God of heaven and earth wants to say, seek me. Isaiah 55 is one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible. It's a beautiful chapter of the gospel. The Lord begins this chapter with a loving, sincere invitation to thirsty sinners. The chapter begins with, Ho! Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Ho! That's a word to capture attention. In this time, they had markets. And when people came into the market, those that were selling their wares, they wanted to catch the people's attention. So, ho, come and buy here. Come and take from my wares. but God's speaking this morning. He begins this morning with how. He wants your attention. He wants to capture your ear that you would hear what he has to say. God says, ho, ho, everyone that thirsteth. And we're all thirsty, congregation. You say, really? Yes, we're all thirsty. We all left that overflowing fountain of overflowing good, and we all have become thirsty. We've left the fountain of good, and we try to make out broken cisterns that cannot satisfy us. Listen to what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And he calls to all, ho, all, everyone, here, all that are thirsty, because we are all thirsty. But there's such a difference. Yes, there's a difference. There's a division among us also this morning, because by nature, there are those who are only thirsty for everything, for self, for flesh, for pleasures of the world, and have absolutely no thirst for God. But they're still thirsty, and God still calls them. But there's others, by God's grace, they have become thirsty. Thirsty for God. Are you one of these? Or are you still thirsty only for self, sin, world, trying to fill your heart with all the emptiness, and you only become dead and lost? But these who thirst for God, what do they learn? What are they are taught by the Holy Spirit? They learn that they have nothing, absolutely nothing to pay to God, who demands justice and perfection. They learn that they have no money. Are there such here this morning? Thirsty ones, by God's grace, and you have nothing. You need everything, but you have nothing to give. And you need such great blessings, but you have nothing to pay. Listen. Listen to verse 1 again. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And hear how the Lord sincerely pleads in the second and third verse. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. May I ask a question? Does man need to persuade God to be merciful and gracious unto them? No. No. In this chapter, we see the exact opposite. We see Israel seeking idols, that covenant people bowing to idols. And yet the Lord calls unto them. What mercy! But he also comes and calls and speaks unto you and me this morning through his word. God does everything to persuade sinners. Ho, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. He's that merciful and gracious God who has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The Lord invites sinners to come to him, to seek to him, to find life in him. He desires to have a relationship with sinners. But what's the painful reality in the time of Israel? Israel did not seek the Lord. The Lord called and called. He sent his servants to preach unto them, but they did not hear. It's also true today in the world. The Lord stretches out his hands of mercy and grace, and he calls and he says, ho, but who will hear? Who will come? Sinners need to be exhorted. They need to be invited sincerely, and God invites them. But they also need the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, that when that word comes to their ear, it goes into their heart, and they're convicted and convinced. And so in the beginning verses, the Lord invites. But then in the verses 6 and 7, he repeats it in a different manner. Why does the Lord repeat things? Children, why does your parents sometimes call your name and repeat it and repeat it? Because they want your attention. They want you to hear and to come and to listen. The Lord begins with ho to get the attention, and he repeats it and beats it so that he would capture your attention, so that you would hear. He's highlighting it. Seek me, as we read in verse 6. Call upon me. These are commands. In the beginning he invites, but now he turns it to a command. He says, seek me, call upon me. First the Lord invites, kindly, sincerely, and then he kindly and gives a command. A little example. I think of Noah. He was building the ark. And maybe in the first years he told them and invited, you may come to the ark. When the rain starts, you may come to the ark. But then, when that time came, when the storm was going to come, then maybe he commanded the people, you must enter into the ark to be saved. So we hear in these words, seek me, a kind, sincere invitation, but also command. But also, what else do we hear? Urgency, congregation. There's urgency. Why? Because the Lord is implying that it will not always be the day of grace. But today is the day of grace. Today is the opportunity to seek, to hear, to take heed. Why? Because tomorrow, children, no, you're young. I can't die. Yes, you can. Tomorrow, teenagers, adults, older ones, tomorrow may be too late. And we read in verse 6, call ye upon him while he is near. Children, teenagers, older ones, when is the Lord near? When is the Lord near? Well, you say when you open the Bible. Yes, then he's near because he speaks through his word. But when is the Lord especially near? It's when we gather in his house. When we gather into his place of worship. Why? Why is he near? How do we know that? Well, what he said in Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Have you ever thought about this? Coming to God's house, you're entering where his church gathers. It's not only who's sitting in your bench, in front of you, behind you, who's in the consistory, who's in the pulpit, but what's especially impressive and important, that he says, I will be in the midst. And we may believe as we gather that he gathers with us. How do we seek him? How do we seek him when he's near? Listening to his word, praying to him, using the means of grace. Why is it urgent that you hear his voice this morning, his word that says, seek me? Why? The Lord is speaking to each one of us. None is excepted. No matter how young you are or how old you are, the Lord is speaking. He is speaking to each one of us. And we all have something in common. What's that? One day we will die. One day it will be your turn. One day it will be my turn. And you might be 90 years old, 80, 70, 60. You could be 15. You could be 5. Or you could even be just a few weeks old. But one day, at God's determined time, he will call you out of this life. It will become your turn. And then we need to stand before an almighty, holy God. None will be skipped. None will be accepted. And yet he calls today. He says, seek me. And if you die outside of the door, at those people at the time of Noah, outside of the ark, they perished. If you die outside of the door, what do I mean? If you die without that only Savior, the Advocate, the Mediator, the Redeemer, the Savior of sinners. If you die without him, without being reconciled with God through him, it will forever be too late. Too late. If you die without Christ, as a good shepherd without him, then you will perish eternally. And yet he says today, seek me. Seek me. And if you perish, then you go to a place, a horrible place, a place without any more mercy, a place will you never hear, seek me. Because there's no more offer of the gospel, no more invitation, no more commands from the gospel. It's too late. A terrible, a horrible place. Forever under the wrath of God and without mercy. Please open your Bibles to Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1. There is a time when it will become too late. As long as we have life, it's not too late. And he calls us while we are living. And then we read in Proverbs 1 verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. When is this? This is when a sinner dies. Oh, then they will bang on that door, open, open. But it will be too late, forever too late. And then let's read the following verses. Why? Why is that? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Too late. They heard it. Maybe read Proverbs 1 at home together as a family. The Lord spoke to them, called them. But they scorned him. They laughed him. They died. And then they wanted to seek. Then they wanted to call. It was too late. He didn't hear it. Why? They despised the day of God's mercy and grace. What an eternal consequence, congregation, to perish without grace, without forgiveness of your sin, without Christ. So today, he still says, seek me. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Tomorrow may be too late. And think about your soul. Think about your eternal soul. Think about salvation. The Lord, in his goodness, gave his son. He gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, sent him to the earth to suffer and to die. And through him, a way opened. Open in him, and he says, seek me through my son, and he sincerely means it. Seek him before it's too late. You may not hear his voice again. Who has a guarantee that they will come into God's house tonight? Who has a guarantee that you will come here next Sunday to hear one of the elders read a message? None of us. And so today, he says, seek me. Seek me. And yes, I know when you're young, you think, later. Later. Lots of time. That's a voice. It's deceitful. That's a voice of the evil one who only wants to keep you captured and that you would keep pleasing yourself instead of taking heed to the voice of God to listen. May the Lord work with power that his word would not return to void, but it would accomplish to the saving of your soul. The only time to seek the Lord is while you have life, while you live in the time of grace. And he even encourages sinners to seek them, to seek him with his whole heart, because he gives promises. I think of Isaiah 45, verse 19. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. Did you hear him? He says, seek me. And he never says, you will seek me in vain. And we read in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your hearts. May I ask you a question? Are you a seeker? Has God said, seek my face? And has your heart, by his grace, responded, Lord, thy face I will seek? Then he promises that those that seek him with the whole heart shall be finders. Are you a seeker? Or must you say, I'm not a seeker at all? That's your guilt, my friend. That's your guilt. God made you capable to seek him with your whole heart. It's our guilt. May this also, this command, this call, seek me, bring us completely in our guilt. And yet may we hear it, that he still invites, that he still calls, that he still commands, seek me. May the Lord bless it. But the Lord says more. He doesn't only say, seek me. He also calls to forsake sin. Isaiah 55, verse 7, the first part. He says, forsake sin. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. This goes together, congregation. If you truly are seeking, then you will also forsake sin. It cannot go together. Lord, please give me a new heart. And then you pull your cell phone out and you watch some wicked things. That doesn't go together. And you say, I can't help it, I'm unconverted. The Lord doesn't do it. Yes, it is God's work. But is that not mockery? Is that not mockery? The Lord calls to seek him, but he also calls to forsake all sin. All sin. These two go together. They belong together. Forsaking sin. In another word we can use, repent. Turn away from all sin. All sin. Turn away from whatever is evil in your life. Whatever is sinful and wicked. Turn away. We read in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living God. Those people in Thessalonica, they heard the word and they turned away from their idols. They forsook sin and they turned to the living God. God calls to seek, and he calls to forsake sin, and he calls to return unto him. And in seeking, what will they learn? They will learn about self, but they'll also learn something about God. They will learn about his attributes. They will learn about how holy he is. They will learn about how infinitely just he is. But they will also learn something of his goodness and his mercy. Through the word, blessed and seeking him, they will learn who God is in his attributes. And they will die to everything in self. But there's something that breaks the heart in seeking him. What is it? What breaks the heart? The hammer of the law? No, that shatters, but it doesn't break. What melts the heart? The goodness and the love of God that he still calls, seek me. That he still says with all his whole heart, forsake sin. And to learn and to hear the goodness of God through the word, through the gospel. This breaks the heart. And what does a broken heart want to do? He wants to forsake all sin. Because that place of sin is not a place of the favor of God. This morning, the Lord urges sinners to turn from all the ways of wickedness, of death. Israel forsook the Lord by their sins. And we have forsaken him also with our own personal sin. We forsook him in paradise, and we continue to forsake him by nature with all our sin, by living for the world and flesh. And yet he calls, seek me. And yet he calls, forsake your way of sin. Forsake all your wickedness. And it's so easy to say, but Lord, I'm dead. I can't do this. And yet the Lord commands. May that absolute impossibility and the absolutely necessity have you so stuck in a corner that you can only come to one thing, that your hands go up and say, Lord, save me. Save me, Lord, by the irresistible work of thy free and sovereign grace. Because, Lord, by nature, I will never seek thee. By nature, I will never forsake any sin. May you hear the absolute necessity and the absolute impossibility in your heart that it comes to that place. No more excuses. But you become lost, guilty, and you just become a beggar. Lord, save me. Do what thou requires, work it in me. What thou commandest, give to me. And by seeking, then they become little students of how good, how great, how holy, how just, how glorious God is, and how sinful they are. And so he says in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. We have so many thoughts, right? Thoughts about the truth, thoughts of who God is, thoughts of who the Savior is, thoughts about self, thoughts of the way of salvation, how it has to go. All polluted thoughts by nature. And the Lord says, and the unrighteous man, his thoughts. God is saying that by nature, our thoughts are wrong. Of how we think about self, how we think about God, how we think about the Savior, how we think of the way of salvation, of how we think of hell, of how we think of heaven, of how we think of the future. He says, forsake all your own thoughts and listen to me. Forsake sin and forsake all your wickedness and even in your own minds. He's saying, sinner, you're wrong. You're wrong of what you think of who I am. You're wrong of who you think you are. You're wrong of who you think of my son is. You're wrong of all your self-righteous thoughts. Forsake them all. Surrender all. You're wrong, sinner. If you think, yeah, God is holy, but he's also merciful. He would never put anyone in hell. Forsake that thought. Or if you think God is just all love, he's also holy. He's God in all his attributes in perfection. Maybe you have fatalistic thoughts. And you say, you know, there's an election. And if God's going to save me, he's going to save me. So I will live. And if it happens, it happens. I'll just live my life. Forsake your wicked thoughts. We don't read that anywhere in the Word of God. We have the revealed will of God. And God says, seek me. God says, forsake sin. Forsake sin. Or maybe you think, I'm a member, so at least I'm much better than those other people in the world that don't go to church. Forsake that sinful thought, that self-righteous thought. You must be born again. You must, by God's grace, come to the place where you're stripped to be clothed by him and his righteousness. The Lord is saying, forsake them all. Forsake them all. By nature, you're wrong about yourself. You're wrong about him. You're wrong about his invitations, his sincere invitations. Seek me, forsake sin, and return unto me. And there's only one way. And that only way is through his dear son. There is no other way. I remember going to prison ministry in Chilliwack. And on that door, when you enter the chapel, there was a big circle. What was it about? All different ways to God. Buddha, all different ways to God. Deceit. No, there's only one way. It's only through Christ. It's only a way through renewal. It's only a way to dying through everything. Only a way through finding life only in Christ. He said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. And then we read verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. The Lord calls, seek me. The Lord calls, forsake your sin. And now think of yourself. No, don't look at other people. Think of yourself. Hear, pay attention. He says, seek me and forsake sin. What sin must you forsake? What sin or what sins must you forsake? You know them. Cut them. Cast them out. Flee away from them. Surrender. Surrender all those sinful thoughts, all those sinful deeds. Cut them off. Get rid of them. The Lord is saying to you, listen to me. Listen to me. I have thoughts. I have thoughts. You have sinful, foolish thoughts, but I have good thoughts. I have kind thoughts. I have kind thoughts for your salvation. He means it, congregation. He means it with his whole heart. Seek me, forsake. Your way is a way of destruction. Your way is only a way of death that leads to eternal wrath. But his way, his thoughts, his way is a way that leads to life. Joy already here on this earth, but also that leads to eternal heavenly joy to be forever with him. And in the renewing, the entire person, sinner, recipient of grace, changes also his thinking. is thinking of everything, thinking of what sin is, thinking of who God is, thinking of who that Savior is, thinking of everything. It all changes by the power of the Holy Spirit. Their minds are enlightened, their eyes are open, and they begin to see it. And what do they feel like? What do they feel like? I've been a fool. I lived so many years not seeking the Lord, just seeking everything for self. I've been such a fool. I've only been living in sin. I've been a fool. I've been so wicked, wretched. And God yet calls. He calls. By nature, our hearts and our minds are absolutely dead and evil in our thinking and our affections in everything. And we're blinded, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. May the Lord work powerfully, irresistibly, and that sinners, their eyes would be opened, that through the outward call of the gospel, it goes inward, and that there's life, and that they become seekers, become forsakers of sin, and seekers of God. And listen to what the Lord says. Listen. He says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord Jehovah, all capital letters, thoughts of peace, congregation, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Do you hear it? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What wonders of God's grace that he has thoughts of peace of wicked sinners that only seek everything but him, that only live in sin, and yet he calls them. Why? Because he has thoughts of peace to them, and he wants to give them a good end. My friend, this morning, the Lord is speaking through his word. It's not my word. It's his word. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And if you continue ignoring him, not seeking him, and continue living in sin and holding on to it, then I must tell you, you will perish. And yet, the Lord says, return unto me. Let's sing now from Psalter 431, standing. 431, 4, 5, and 6. Open, saith the Lord, why thy mouth believing. This my covenant word I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving. 431, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. the Lord's message to the living, seek me, forsake sin. And he even says, return to me. Is that not a wonder? We read in verse 7, and let him return unto the Lord. The Lord calls sinful, rebellious, dead, wicked sinners. But also, he speaks to all those who are thirsty. Return to him. The Lord calls to forsake sin and to come back to him. May I say it this way? He says, welcome. You know that beautiful book by John Bunyan? Do you have it? Welcome to Jesus Christ. If you don't have it, buy it, read it. Welcome to Jesus Christ by John Bunyan. That's God. That's an almighty, infinite, holy being against we have sinned and offended to his very heart. He says, seek me, forsake sin, and return to me. And we only deserve that he would say, I've had enough. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to see you. Away with you. What a wonder of God's mercy, of his goodness. What does it mean to return to the Lord? It means to turn away from all sin. It means to confess your sin with your whole heart. It means to cry to him, to speak to him, to cry out unto him, to be like that publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It means that you begin to read his word, seeking him, that you come to church, that you use the means of grace faithfully with a hungry and a thirsty soul for the living God, with an object in your heart, oh, to be reconciled with him. To return. That's to do with your heart, not with your mind, with your heart, with an object, with a desire. Oh, that he would receive me. That's your longing. It's not, oh well, I'll do my best. No, that's not what it is. There's an urgency in those hearts. They long to be back into that heart of God, returning unto him. Stumbling, falling, creeping, crawling, begging, returning, trembling, and yet looking, hungering, thirsting. Will he hear me? Will he answer me? I think of the prodigal son again. He left that place of sin. He forsook it. He couldn't be there. And you see him coming to his father's house. And I think the closer he came, the slower he came. With all his sin, of how he had grieved that father. He had even wished him dead. And yet, what happened, children? How did that father receive him? It's a picture of God through Jesus Christ, of sinners that seeking him, that forsake sin and return to him. How did he receive him? What did that father do when he saw his son coming? Did he run to the door and slam it and lock it? No, he didn't. What do we read? He saw him. And he ran to him. And he embraced him. And he kissed him. Everything he did to that son who had forsook sin and it was returning to him and was confessing and embracing him. Everything he did was to say, you're my son. You're my son again. See it? Oh, may that come with power in your heart. That you would see, that you would forsake, and that you would return, longing to feel those arms of God around you, a wretched sinner. But maybe you say, but I live so long, so willingly in the world, so many years against all better knowledge. Is there any hope for such a one as I am? I've sinned and broke all the commandments of God. Oh, my sins are as black as hell. Would he receive such a sinner as I am? Maybe I'm guilty of many abortions. Maybe I'm guilty of all kinds of wicked sins, homosexuality, and you can name it, that we think are the most horrible sins. Will he ever receive such a sinner as I am? What must I say? Yes. Yes. And yes. Why? Because he's God. He's God. Our thoughts are, I don't think so. But that's not God. God will. Listen to what he wrote in Jeremiah 31 and husbands. If your wife, and I hardly dare say it, but to show the example of this text, would become a harlot and was a lover with many men, she came to your door, what would you do? Would you receive her back? But listen to God. We are spiritual harlots. We've given our heart to all the idols. And listen to what he says in Jeremiah 3 verse 1. Thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Many lovers. Not just one. Many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. That's God. What love. What mercy. For the most vilest of sinners. And then he comes to a promise. To encourage. To encourage. To seek him. To encourage to forsake. To encourage to return unto him. And he will have mercy upon him. This is God. He delights in mercy. He delights in being gracious. Because that's his very being. His very being. As we read in Psalm 116 verse 5. Gracious is the Lord. And righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. What does mercy mean? What does mercy mean? To receive exactly the opposite of what we deserve. We only deserve wrath. We only deserve to be cut off. But oh, to be received back in mercy. Mercy. That's God. Mercy comes from God the Father, that infinite holy being that we have offended to his heart through the merits of Jesus Christ. Those arms are open that are closed. And mercy for the chiefest of sinners. What a wonder. Has this ever become a wonder for you, my friend? It never becomes, of course he will receive me. No, it becomes such a wonder. Will he receive me? And that he would receive me. It becomes such a wonder. And it's a bigger wonder because the longer you live, even after grace, you know what? You become just lost. Just an ungodly one. Nothing more. And to feel all the deadness, all the wickedness, and all your whole being. They don't get better. They get worse. And then to be received in mercy. It becomes such a wonder. The Lord is saying, sinner, that's your name. That's my name. Sinner, listen. Seek me. Forsake your sin. And return unto me. The Lord is giving every incentive that he can to capture your ear, to capture your heart, that you would listen, that you would come, that he may be merciful unto you through his Son. Children, remember Esther? Esther? You know the history of Esther, right? There was a decree written against her and her people. Death. And there was only one way that she could receive life. And that was to go to that king. Did she say, of course, he's going to receive me? She didn't know. But she became a beggar. She prayed. And she would go to that king. And if he reached out that golden scepter, she would be received. And yet she said, if I perish, I perish. But she had to go. She had no other option because it was the only way for her to be able to live. And may I ask you now, spiritually, has it become no other way? But there's only one way, and that is to be received back with God through that Savior. And are you wondering, will he receive me? Esther, that golden scepter was stretched out. But those that come, those seekers, forsaking sin, true repentance, and return to him with their whole heart, he will receive it. His arm will be stretched out and opened. They will be received in mercy. Why? Because he delighteth in mercy, as we read in the prophet Micah 7, verse 18 and 19. And then the Lord adds another promise. At the end of verse 7, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Do you have abundant of sins? Is this not sweet? Is this not exactly what those souls need to hear? That have an abundance of sin, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon? This phrase expresses two things. First, it expresses that the Lord will forgive the greatest amounts of sin. Do you have a mount of sin? A mountain of sin? You can't even see the top of all your thoughts, of all your words, of all your deeds. He says, I will abundantly pardon. And as Paul said in Romans 5 verse 20, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, that grace of God through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, it abounds above all sin to cover it all, to wash it all away. And then secondly, it also expresses, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon, not only abundance of sin, but continually. An abundance, but also continue. That's sweet. Why? Because we sin the same sin again and again and again. And then that little voice says, you confess that and you did it again. You think there's hope? Listen. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He will continually, continually pardon. Oh, what rich blessings come from the triune God of the Father through the Son. And may we know it. May we feel it. May we experience by the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and souls that wretched sinners, that those poor little seekers that don't even say they are seekers, that those that forsake sin and see so much sin yet, and those that are returning, stumbling and crawling and beggars, may hear and taste of the mercy of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's message for the living. And you're living. You have an ear. You can hear. May you bring it home. And may it bring you on your knees. Say, Lord, I heard it. And may you then become a beggar. Lord, give what thou hast commanded. Because I can't give it myself. But don't go home and say, oh, well, I heard it, and I'll just carry on. That's hardening your heart, congregation. Hardening your heart. What wickedness. Are you prepared to meet your Maker? Someday, it will be your turn. And this week, we didn't bury the oldest member in the congregation. We buried the youngest that speaks that any one of us can die. Can die. And so listen, one more time. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It's God's word. Listen and hear. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, the word has gone out with an audible voice. And oh, we beg thee that thou would take it with the power of the Holy Spirit and bring it where no man will bring it, where no enemy will bring it. Bring it into the hearts. Shoot those arrows, and may they stick fast in the hearts of sinners, that they may be convicted, wounded, and die and surrender, and that they may become seekers with their whole heart. Forsakers of all sin, repentant sinners, and begin to return unto thee, looking unto thee, hungering for thee, and that thou would also give, that through the precious gospel of thy dear Son, that they may experience not only wrath, but of mercy through the blood, through those merits of thy Son. Lord, wilt thou keep us then in this day, may we meditate upon thy word. Bring us here again in this evening to hear again thy precious word. Forgive us of all our many sins. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing with closing from Psalter 362, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. Psalter 362, all three stanzas. Congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.